Our politicians often have a tin ear about matters religious, and sad to say, even some of our religious politicians have a tin ear about these things, especially as they pertain to politics and how they might be covered by the media. Of course, the media has the ultimate tin ear when it comes to the coverage of matters religious and theological. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us for the next segment is Bobby Ross Jr. He's an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religious publications from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle, and he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. He joins us to talk about Alabama Governor Robert Bentley in the news for his statements, and a Chicago pastor who says God told him to buy a large church building. Now he can't pay for it. Bobby, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
This story about the newly elected Alabama governor and statements he made in an Alabama church was everywhere and all over the place. But what was missing, in your opinion, from most of the media coverage of that faux pas?
I think in particular the first day coverage lacked any kind of context or background at all to help readers or viewers understand what he had said. I mean, you had headlines where, you know, new Alabama governor criticized for Christian-only message, and new Alabama governor says just Christians are his family. And that failed to take into account, I guess, the fact that basically the view that he was espousing is a view that you might hear in any Baptist church in Alabama on a Sunday morning. So the kind of, I guess, the thing that was different here is for some reason the governor on his first day, you know, having just been inaugurated, decided to throw that out there and tell an audience at a church on Martin Luther King Day that if you've been adopted into God's family like I have, and like you, if you're a Christian and you've been saved and the Holy Spirit lives within you, then you're my brothers and you're my brother and sister. But if you can't say that and we don't have the same daddy, meaning God, then we're not brothers and sisters. And so I think, you know, he was talking, you know, in maybe what was also a political context, but, you know, in a church talking about his religious beliefs. And I think it was a black church where Martin Luther King had served as pastor. So I think, you know, there was some analysis after the fact that maybe he was trying to just say to these black Baptists that, you know, we're brothers and sisters. We have, we serve the same God. We're all born again. But in doing that, he alienated, quite a few people who immediately came back with criticism that the media was, you know, quick to report.
So is part of it, I mean, obviously part of it is him being kind of unaware of the potential of a governor's statements like this, made in a religious context, I think giving him the benefit of the doubt. He's making a theological statement here, and one that is well within the mainstream of Christian belief, but his inability to understand how that would be interpreted by people who are not familiar with that theology, but also the media's coverage inability to understand that he was making a theological statement, not a political statement.
Right. And I guess that would be, you know, I guess you could, there would be some room for argument or disagreement as to whether it's possible for a governor to make a statement that's purely theological and not political. But I think, from my perspective, my concern was that the reports, you know, they quoted someone with, I think the group's called American Atheist, and they quoted Muslim leaders and Jewish leaders, and, you know, they had a lot of criticism of the governor, and he's trying to politicize the nation, which I think is fine to have that criticism, and I think it's important to have that side of the story and the people who disagree with what he did. But what was missing was the other side of it, where you go and say, well, what is the governor's religious background? What does his church believe from the what does his pastor say about what he said? And is the governor really saying that he's going to treat people, that he's only going to be the governor of the people who share his religious beliefs, or was that not what he was saying at all? So if that makes any sense, I think the problem from the initial coverage, and it got better in some of the second and third day coverage, was that, you know, initially it was all criticism and no context or background to try to kind of explain where the governor might be coming from.
You say the exception in that regard was the Los Angeles Times. What did they do?
The Los Angeles Times, well, what they did, and this was their first day story, is they went to the website of the governor's church, first of all, which anybody could have, you know, quickly Googled and found on there where it said, you know, it said the new governor's a Sunday school teacher and deacon at the First Baptist Church, which considers passionately evangelizing to be a key core value. So, you know, what they did is they kind of put what he said in context of the governor attends a church where he believes that he needs to share his faith with you and needs to try to bring you into the fold. And then they also interviewed the senior pastor at his church who was quoted saying he was coming strictly from the fact that Scripture talks about how those that know Jesus Christ as their Savior are adopted into the family of God. And as we are adopted into God's family, we are adopted into the family of Christ, is how the LA Times quoted him. And then there was another, later on, the Washington Post on their own faith blog had some pretty good analysis where one of the interesting comments was from Richard Land, who's president of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission for the Southern Baptist Convention. What Land said is, theologically, he's correct. Every Christian looks on all people as God's children, but they're not brothers and sisters until they're Christian. But Jesus said to love others as yourself. And he said, as far as the governor's comment, he said it showed a startling naivety. He said, you know, if I was governor of a state, I would never voluntarily say that. So if there had been a little bit more effort in the coverage to go and try to explain the governor's statement, I think it would have even enhanced it, because you would have had fellow Baptists saying, yeah, technically he's right, and theologically he's right, but politically it wasn't the smartest thing in the world for someone who's just been sworn in as governor to get up and say when you know there's a bunch of reporters in the room.
Another story that we'd like to talk to you about, Bobby, has to do, and this is a Chicago story reported by the Tribune there,
right,
about a newly ordained pastor there who decided to buy a church. He said actually God told him to buy the church. What's the story here?
Well, I guess he comes from a Christian background. That the story describes him as non-denominational. It seemed to have a little bit of a Pentecostal kind of flavor to it, as far as, you know, believing that he's receiving visions from God. And basically in 2005 says that, you know, he had just been ordained as a minister and was looking for a small place in this city outside of Chicago to open a church, but, you know, a small church. But instead, God came to him in a vision and said, I need you to go see this big, giant church. I think it was a former Methodist church, maybe, with big stained glass windows. And, you know, the Tribune described it as a brick and stone edifice. But said, go look at this building, and there will be a guy out there. And sure enough, there was a guy out there, and basically his claim is that God came in a vision and told him to go buy this church building, even though he didn't really have the money to afford it.
Now, how was it covered? What was good and what was less than good about the Tribune's coverage of this story with about a minute and a half?
I think the good part was the fact that, you know, it would be easy, particularly for a reporter who is not religious or who doesn't share this particular religious persuasion, to kind of blow off the notion that God came and told this guy to get up in the middle of the night and go look at this church building and buy it. But I didn't sense in this story that kind of, it was an impossible to verify claim, but the story just lets him tell it in his own words, say, I believe in miracles, this is what happened, and leave it up to the reader to decide whether to believe it or not.
How could the story have been improved, in your opinion, the coverage here?
Well, it was pretty shallow in ways, and there were a lot of unanswered questions, like, you know, that you don't really find out enough about the pastor's theological or denominational background to know where he's coming from or what he believes. It talks about him being recently ordained, but never says where he was ordained. There are some specific details in the story about the fact that after he got the money together to buy the church, there was at one point 200 members, and then the story mentions going on a Sunday morning, there being 30 people there, and there having been some kind of internal schism, but it's just real vague on details like that.
So in a nutshell there with about 30 seconds, really it wasn't so much misreporting, but kind of a deficit of going just one step deeper to explain a lot of the unexplained terms and ideas in that story.
Right, I think so. And part of that is the nature of journalism today, where this story was 800 words or so, which is, you know, in the Chicago Tribune, given all the competition for space, may be a pretty, you know, about as long a story as this reporter could have hoped to get. But there was just, you read it and you're just left scratching your head and wondering what's really going on and what part of the story is not being told.
Bobby Ross Jr. is an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religious publications from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle, and he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.